So it's paying attention to the way it is, the Buddha and the Dhamma. So that this the attitude then is, you know, the worldly attitude for worldly activities is achievement, attaining. So when we approach meditation from a worldly attitude, then it becomes attainment, achievement, getting something, proving yourself, becoming a good meditator. And just to point this out, that this is the attitude of the world for living in the world. But then for freedom from the world, the attitude changes more toward words like renunciation, letting go, non-attainment, non-achievement. So that this is to reflect on this, just to observe one's own conditioning, you know, the momentum and the kind of unconscious tensions we create through even bringing this worldly state of mind into spiritual practice. So we can see, you know, we learn from experience how, you know, the result of trying to attain and achieve through meditation. So rather than encouraging an attitude of you've got to get something you don't have yet, or you've got to get rid of your defilements, the things that are not good, get rid of the fetters, get rid of the kilesas, get rid of the asavas, get rid of the defilements, so you can become somebody who has attained purity. This whole way of thinking does not work. It only leads to despair. So rather than perpetuating that, then this retreat is more encouraging this awakeness, receptivity, like in this moment, here and now, being open, receptive. When we talk about renunciation, in the English word renunciation always sounds like, you know, something you should get rid of things. You shouldn't be attached. And so it becomes another kind of imperative about what you shouldn't be attached to anything. But in terms of Buddhism, renunciation is more like letting go. It's not just rejecting or getting rid of something, but relaxing, opening, receiving, letting go. So these kind of words convey an attitude that's most helpful in spiritual practice. And when I use the word spiritual, you know, this pointing to, you know, the ultimate truth, reality itself. Ultimate truth, reality is here and now. And so it's not an attainment, you can't attain it. You're already here now, so it's kind of absurd, isn't it, to try to be here and now when you're already here and now. So rather than trying to practice here and now and trying to become someone who's present and mindful, attitude more of relaxed attention, openness, receiving, noticing, attentiveness, attention. So then just pointing, to noticing just the way it is, like the body that we use, like gamatana or foundations for awareness, practicing is the body, because it's here and now. So the postures, this is just a convenient way of using the experience of having a body. The four postures, sitting, standing, walking, lying down, the breath, anapanasati, because these are ordinary movements, experiences that happen to us throughout our lives, changing the body, moving the body from one position to another, the breathing, and then bringing attention to now at this very moment, what is your general mood? What is the emotional or mood that you're experiencing? Just being the knower, the noticing itself. Just say, so how do I feel right now? And don't try to come up with some word for it, but just know it's like this. This kind of what we might call a mood or a state of mind, emotional state of mind at this present moment is like this. Now, these are suggestions I'm giving, ways of observing, noticing. The words themselves can get in the way because we can see them as kind of imperatives or commands or you should, or you can make them into that for yourself. So that's where the point of this kind of reflection is not telling you or trying to convert you or anything, but just more suggestions of how to observe the fetters or the things that bind you to ignorance and suffering. The illusions that we operate from in our life. To observe them, not it's not a matter of should or shouldn't anymore, it's a matter of recognizing they are the paithankarani cha. This desire, this compulsive need to attain or achieve is like this. And so you're not judging it, and I'm not saying it's putting it in putting a value judgment on it, but it's like this. And this observing, this noticing the way it is not the thing that you're observing. So if you have the kind of compulsive tendencies, then the observer, that which is observing, and that which is observed. Where if we don't reflect in this way, we just become, someone who's trying to not attain anything. I'm such a compulsive, achievement, goal-oriented, obsessed, neurotic, that I need to not be this way. I need to stop it and change myself. And that's not the answer either. Just trying to get rid of your faults, or the what you see as faults or obstructions, but to receive them, they're like this. Now this state of awareness, intuitive awareness. If you notice that. In this, you begin to notice, the sound of silence, this kind of resonating vibratory background sound, or it's not a sound or a vibration, whatever it is. Now this is where the thinking process stops, when you're aware, when you pay attention to this sound of silence. It has this continuous kind of flowing. It doesn't begin and end. not like a ordinary sound with that has a beginning and ending. It's a flowing. And then you noticing this helps you to recognize or notice that when you're with this sound of silence, you're not thinking. The kind of obsessive proliferating tendency, the chattering mind, the proliferating thinking mind stops, and you're pay attention to that, where there's consciousness and silence and awareness. So this is what I call sound of silence. You know, it's like a oxymoron, isn't it? If there's silence, there's no sound. That's logical, isn't it? That's the logical mind. If there's sound, there's not silence. So this title, Sound of Silence, is more for reflection. I'm not trying to, it's not a scientific term. It's more metaphorical. And so, because it's not really a sound either, it's vibration. It's like, cause, I mean, I notice it as it's more like a sound to me, but it's not necessarily, you can't define it. People want to say it's your blood vessels in your ears, or, you know, or make it into something like cosmic, the cosmic sound, or whatever. So, I mean, these are ways of trying to explain it. But the important thing is whatever, you know, is to notice, because this has this expansiveness. It has no boundary to it. It's consciousness without boundary, and there's no self in it. It's like this. So what I'm doing right now is pointing to reality. This is real. I don't create this. Not a structure that I create. But it's just noticing, awakening, the awakened consciousness before you create yourself. Now this is quite important to have this perspective, because what I see with so many Western meditators is that they don't, they sometimes lack perspective in their practice. They're attached to technique, a lot of views about practice and meditation techniques, or to views of vipassana, like here in the UK, that there's so many views about what vipassana is. And we grasp these words from culturally conditioned mind, from mental states. So even the words, you know, we take vipassana, Pali word, and we put it into the English context, but it becomes another thing, another, you know, like meditation itself. The word meditation is a kind of generic term for anything mental that you do. You're meditating on a flower, on whatever. You can, you know, meditating on crystals. People meditate on crystals, on all kinds of things. And so it's a generic term for kind of mental exercising. Vipassana, the word vipassana is insight, looking into the nature of things. So this is the unconditioned, then this sound of silence fulfills that role of the unconditioned. Like if you can notice this and learn to sustain attention, be with this sound of silence for a while. It's peaceful, and it's not exciting. It's not an exciting sound, you know. It doesn't wind you up or get you going. You can be irritated, but I've known people who were irritated by it. They think that it's something wrong, like tinnitus, or something wrong with their hearing process, so they don't. You know, so you can develop aversion to it. But recognizing it is just like this. It's like I can talk now and still hear, notice this sound of silence while I'm talking to you. So this is pointing out that it's a receptive state of being. It's receptive. It's not a condition where to be with this condition you have to shut yourself off from all other conditions. Like concentration practices, to concentrate on your breath, you have to stop noticing the things around the breath. You're absorbing into one object, where the sound of silence embraces everything, just like consciousness and space. It doesn't block off anything or obstruct anything at all. It's a receptive state. This is, we talk about receptivity, openness. It's not a state either. Trying to get the words right in English, sometimes difficult. But it's like this. So this is, as you begin to notice this is like a receptive, relaxed attention. And you begin to this sound of silence, you is not something dependent on special conditions. Like in my own experience, I use this as a way of integrating the movement of life, everyday, daily life practice. So, whether I'm here in a formal retreat meditating, or in London, or wherever, whatever happening there, you begin to notice. You know, I trained myself to notice this sound of silence as the background of everything, behind the traffic noises of Bangkok, London, behind the conversations, behind the moods and feelings that arise in consciousness. So this is like the unconditioned allows us to reflect on the conditioned, whatever you're feeling, or through the senses, through sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, through a memory, emotion, pleasant, painful, praise and blame, success and failure, all the worldly dhammas, is this ultimate, unconditioned reality that we rest in, where we're not just struggling endlessly with the conditioned realm, trying to survive and hold on, and or just get depressed and angry and lost in trying to make the world into something we feel safe in. You know, we want safety, we want certitude, security, happiness. But in the conditioned realm, these are not, you can't guarantee this. It's not, you know, all the best laid plans are subject to disruption and change. So in cultivating, or real, like bhavana, the Pali word bhavana, means cultivating this awareness. Because this awareness, or sati sampajanya, are the words conveying this, pointing to how we can recognize ultimate reality, Dhamma. Now, this Dhamma includes everything, so it's not just another division like unconditioned versus the conditioned. You see, then, because that's a dualistic language problem. But the unconditioned then includes the conditioned. So, you know, in our daily lives, we're including the body, the breath, the moods, the memories, the karmic tendencies, the faults, the weaknesses, the virtues. You know, they all belong. We're not trying to just live in what we call the unconditioned and have nothing to do with the condition anymore, because that, you can't do that. That doesn't work. But this human state, this human limitation, human birth, having a human body until its death, means that this learning to accept it and its limitations, but no longer blindly hold to it or just ignore it or reject it. But recognizing that we learn, you know, we're developing wisdom through understanding conditioned phenomena, not by trying to destroy it. So this reflection on this perspective in the terms of here and now, space and consciousness, these have no boundaries, and yet they're real. You know, they're not abstract ideas or metaphysical concepts. Space is here and now, isn't it? You know, observing space, you open your eyes and you notice space, it's here and now. You know, I don't create space. It has no boundary to it. We put buildings in the space, so we look at the walls of this room, but space, you know, the building is in the space, even though we might, in a worldly way, think the space is in the building. But carrying it, where does space end? You know, where is its limit? We can't. You know, it seems to have no boundary, and yet it's real. Just in an ordinary visual sense. And then consciousness and sound of silence, put those together. Consciousness has no boundary. Sound of silence has no boundary. It's like a flow goes on. It has no noticeable beginning or ending. And yet we put boundaries into consciousness. So like me and mine, my ego, myself, my memories, my moods, all this are, you know, consciousness is still operating, but I'm creating conditions into consciousness. It's like this building in space. So what I'm doing is pointing to this relationship of the unconditioned to the conditioned. You know, if you begin to appreciate this, then you've got a really clear perspective. If you're just working on a conditioned level all the time, you go around in circles, I guarantee it. You know, you're just stuck in the vortex of thinking and so forth. People meditate for years and never get outside the ego, because they have all kinds of views and opinions about how to practice and their own attainments or lack of them, whatever. Even if you think that you've not gotten anything from your meditation after all these years, that's still a creation, isn't it? You know, I've heard people say, I've been meditating for years, but I haven't gotten anywhere with it. That is the problem. Because you're trying to create your personality into something that you think gets somewhere. I feel I'm really an advanced meditator, and I'm an authority, I'm a meditation master, and you know, I'm one of the best meditators in the UK. One could be really arrogant, you know. But most meditators that I know, I think, I've tried, you know, but I don't seem to have samadhi. I can't concentrate my mind. My mind wanders and still get angry and just hopeless, I guess. Now, if you're, you know, even though you might feel that way, being the observer of that, you know, the feeling that you're not a good meditator and you haven't gotten anything from it is like this. So you're beginning to witness the condition from the position of the unconditioned. Where if you're trying to judge yourself from the conditioned, some days you might feel you've gotten somewhere. You know, you go on a meditation retreat and get blissed out and think, wow, I'm really good now. But then, you know, the next retreat, it will probably not happen like that. Because, you're attached to the sense of a self, is whether you're successful or a failure at meditation, it's still from the self, the illusion of self, from the conditioned perspective. So this conditioned we call samsara, the cycles. And if you notice how your thinking process, you go around and around with it. Because that's the way thinking operates. It, one thought connects to another thought. So, you know, I am Ajahn Sumedho will go on to, you know, it will carry me onward into proliferating about my abilities, my past, future, the whole kind of conditioned attitude of my ego, my sakyaditti will start operating. If I'm not aware of that, if I take the sense of myself as my ground of my modus operandi, then I go around in circles with it, changing. You know, I'm feeling healthy or sickly, or whether it's morning or evening, changes. Personality changes. So on this retreat, really, I encourage you to emphasize this. Recognition of the unconditioned. Recognizing it. You're not going to create it. You can't create. Whatever you create is not that. Not the unconditioned. It's just a matter of recognizing it. Then I found the way that I've developed through Sound of Silence, because it works. you know, it's noticing and recognizing it gives a perspective on the sakyaditi that comes up in my consciousness. So that the sakyaditi or my ego or my emotional habits no longer have the, you know, are no longer the thing that control me and dominate me, intimidate me. Because I can see them, I know them. It doesn't mean I don't have emotions or, you know, I don't have a personality or anything, but I know what it is. Where before this, I didn't know. I just was operating from the illusions of I am this person, I am like this, good, bad person, whatever. Changes according to what the weather's like.